Welcome back to Hacker News Daily, a Bree podcast. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. Here's what's happening today.
A new preprint asks whether AI advice is quietly suppressing our will. Moonshot AI pauses new Kimi signups after a feature launch floods their servers. And Alibaba's Qwen team teases a model called Qwen 3.8 Max.
Also ahead, OpenAI trims the Codex context window, Claude Code ships a Rust version of Bun, and the last MPIC4 visual patent finally expires. Let's jump in.
A preprint posted on SciAxive in mid-July asks a question that cuts right to how we use AI tools every day. When an AI gives us advice, does it change our willingness to admit we don't know something?
Marco Thatsikia and colleagues ran an experiment where accuracy was explicitly incentivized, and the finding is striking. AI advice actually suppressed people's willingness to say, "I don't know," even when the advice was wrong.
So you've got this double effect. The AI advice made people less accurate, but more confident. They were wrong more often, and less likely to recognize the limits of their own knowledge.
And one commenter in the discussion framed this as supporting a kind of AI pessimist view. The concern is that even as models become smarter, they'll remain agreeable, letting people use them to reinforce their less sound ideas with even greater confidence.
A quick note on sourcing. One reader pointed out that the initial article's links point only to the publisher's own domain and Business Insider, not to the study itself. But another commenter supplied the direct preprint URL, which is on osf.io/preprints/sycrxiv/5asexm4_v1.
Worth flagging that this is a preprint, so it hasn't gone through full peer review yet. But the finding lines up with a pattern people report anecdotally, that leaning on AI answers can make it harder to pause and say, "I'm not sure."
Moonshot AI has temporarily halted new subscriptions for its Kimi chatbot platform. The reason is straightforward. Demand for the new Kimi K3 model overwhelmed the company's infrastructure.
They announced the suspension on social media, saying traffic and usage surged beyond their capacity. And some users in the discussion are actually reporting they were pleasantly surprised by the model's quality, particularly for code review and pull request review tasks.
Though one commenter noted the service is currently so overloaded that even testing that use case is difficult right now. The demand seems genuine.
That's what observers in the discussion are pointing to. They suggest the spike represents real enthusiasm for strong performance rather than just a cost-driven shift. Kimi's latest model is actually more expensive than most competing Chinese models. DeepSeek, for example.
So users aren't flocking to it because it's cheaper? They seem willing to pay more for what they perceive as better output.
And the discussion raises another possibility, that the surge might reflect broader growth in overall AI consumption, not just migration from other providers. The open question is whether the model holds up under sustained scrutiny once the infrastructure catches up.
Alibaba's Qwen team is previewing a new large language model called Qwen 3.8 Max. An official announcement is a bit hard to pin down. There's a banner on the Qwen Cloud website pointing to the pricing and token plan page, and the preview appears to be restricted to Qwen's subscription plan.
The Alibaba Qwen account on Twitter describes it as a model with massive 2.4 trillion parameters that is continuously evolving, calling it one of the most powerful options available. And it's already shown up in the iOS app. At least one user spotted it both logged in and logged out.
But here's where the contrast gets sharp. A separate user shared feedback from 1 month of daily use, and they found Qwen 3.7 Pro effectively unusable for software engineering.
Their words are pretty blunt. They reported that it wastes time, goes off track, enters useless stuck loops, and cannot debug. They described the DeepSeek V4 Pro experience as night and day better, calling Qwen models the worst SWE experience they've had so far.
They also noted that Qwen is super expensive compared to DeepSeek, adding that they couldn't delegate anything to it or use it for real-time low-level tasks.
So you've got a 2.4 trillion parameter model being positioned as one of the most powerful options, and a user with a month of daily hands-on work saying it's the worst software engineering experience they've had. The gap between the ambition and that on-the-ground report is pretty wide.
The Boozler paperly shouted the Tom, clitiply steving him. Then they go to a techity 2 years ago. But when this everly bissed Diblick rare filled their land, challing anywhere. Think so, butch to the Trow step store, for the sighty of framing way taking a mom. A starty area and the carminant blaskying, it's going to still a despited by the T-Space Arager. I will become the food setter image getting meatlet celery. It can place how much all of the drysing grains are best mo as you reeled, and that greater exactly my magically smile than the stardialized for mastingly to consider like what's a question where I carry into this X. Peace selaging ones, peace colon wow number sue, despite on what I'm the fuckently wait, by Mets with my thousand steals, he will think, shop, it's me burb.
A team member named Tebow explained on social media what happened. The earlier 372,000 figure was an illustrative example where all factors except context length were held fixed, and the same trajectory length was maintained across reasoning efforts.
So it sounds like it was a communication issue rather than a technical rollback. The correction was posted as a reply to an unofficial comment about the original disclosure.
Still a notable change to see in a public pull request, and a reminder that even when numbers come from an official repository, the context behind them can evolve as the team clarifies what they meant.
Simon Willison has spotted something interesting inside Claude Code. It now bundles a version of Bun that's described as Bun written in Rust.
And when he runs it, the output shows Bun v1.4.0 for macOS ARM 64. That version number is what caught everyone's attention.
Right, because the most recent public Bun release on GitHub is still v1.3.14 from May 12th. So this v1.4.0 inside Claude Code appears to be a preview of a build that hasn't been officially released yet.
And it's not just a version bump. The Bun written in Rust part signals a pretty significant shift. Bun's runtime has historically been built on top of JavaScript core. So a Rust-based iteration is a notable direction change.
This surfaced on Hacker News, and one commenter, embedding shape, raised a governance question. They pointed out that Anthropic is shipping what looks like an unreleased Bun branch, and noted there don't seem to be any published governance documents for the project.
The speculation is essentially, does Anthropic decide what gets accepted? Another commenter, Minroz, pushed back on that framing, saying Bun's direction is largely whatever creator Jard Sumner is willing to accept in a given week.
Mendroz also added that the Bun 1.4.0 version bump was placed in Claude Code's changelogs more than a month ago. So this isn't exactly a secret, just not something that's reached a public GitHub release.
So what we're looking at is an early Rust-based Bun iteration being distributed through Anthropic's tooling before an official public release, with open questions about how the project is governed.
The last known active patent covering MPEC Etch-4 Visual, also called MPEC Etch-4 Part 2, has now expired.
And this is a significant moment for video codecs. MPEG-4 Part 2 is the standard that backs the XVID and DivX codecs, formats that were enormously popular in the early 2000s.
US and EU patents covering this standard had already expired in recent years, but one patent remained active in Brazil until today. That was the final barrier.
There's an interesting twist here noted in the discussion. Via Licensing had listed this same patent as standards essential for several other MPX codecs, including AVC, also known as H.264, HEEV, or H.165, and 100, or H.166. It was also listed for 95-1, which is a SMPTE standard.
But one commenter was careful to clarify that the openness of those other codecs depends on their own last patent expiring, not on this one. Just because a patent listed as essential for multiple standards expires doesn't automatically free all of them.
Still, for MPBB-4 Part 2 specifically, the removal of this patent barrier has already prompted hopes for increased support in open source projects. XVID and DivX content can now be handled without any lingering patent concerns.
A Hacker News commenter has called out Perforce for something that's generating a lot of discussion. The company's Helix Core User Basic Trading video costs $500, and it appears to use an AI narrator.
And the commenter detailed several issues with it. The voice is inconsistent across videos, and it occasionally shifts to a completely different voice profile for just a moment before switching back.
There are also unnatural pauses that break sentences in ways that make no sense. The example given was the phrase, "This is a very useful feature," with the pause awkwardly placed mid-thought.
The commenter says they stopped evaluating the course after roughly 10 minutes. Their conclusion was that a company using narration of that quality signals a poor product.
It raises the question of what buyers expect when they're paying $500 for professional training materials.
A blog post titled, "I Burned All My Tokens Researching How to Save Tokens," on Kaizma.com reports on an experiment with a custom deep research pipeline.
The finding is straightforward. Communicating with models using shorter messages produced more or less the same results while saving on token command bandwidth.
A Hacker News commenter weighed in saying this makes intuitive sense. Their take was that American LLMs are largely closed, Chinese ones are open to a point, and because comprehensive data about saving tokens was unlikely to have been scanned and indexed, querying token saving tends to generate verbose and ultimately useless output.
In other words, the very act of researching how to be concise with language models produces the opposite: long, sloppy responses that don't actually help you save tokens.
The practical takeaway from the blog post is simply that shorter prompts get the job done about as well as longer ones, and you'll burn fewer tokens getting there.
Minecraft Java Edition Snapshot 2603A has switched its graphics layer to SDL3. That's the simple direct media layer library, a cross-platform foundation that handles window creation, input, and rendering.
Right. And with that switch come two known crash bugs the developers are tracking. First, exclusive full screen mode on Windows may crash, especially if you're running multiple monitors.
And the second, entering exclusive full screen on Wayland, the display protocol common on Linux, crashes the game outright.
Now, one player noted in the discussion that the game has defaulted to borderless full screen for a long time. So unless someone deliberately switches to exclusive full screen, they may never hit these bugs at all. But for those who do prefer that mode, it's something to watch for in this snapshot. Here's a wild one. A Hacker News user bought an abandoned 8-lane bowling center in a rural Midwest town for $105,000. They described the area as a recreation desert, not much else around for people to do.
And the center came with 70-year-old equipment that still has real problems. There's a leaking roof, and the electrical system surges. Not exactly the kind of environment where precision scoring gear thrives.
The automatic scoring system was installed back in 2008, and it wasn't cheap. The owner says it was a six-figure install. It calculates ball speed and trajectory, uses camera-based pin detection with object detection and trigonometry running on integrated circuits, and it also handles foul detection, animations, the pin setter, and ball return.
And here's the headline number. A full forklift replacement of that whole bowling system would cost up to $120,000. That's more than he paid for the entire building. So he started looking for another way. And that's where the ESP32 story begins.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation reported back in May that a sheriff's office in Texas searched data from more than 83,000 automated license plate reader cameras to track down a woman suspected of self-managing an abortion.
83,000 cameras. That's the scale of the ALPR network they accessed. And the search wasn't for a violent crime, it was to locate someone based on a suspected abortion.
The discussion around this got sharp. One commenter argued that law enforcement activity is only as good as the law itself, essentially saying the problem is the statute, not the officers enforcing it.
And someone pushed back hard on that framing. Their retort, saying, "I was just enforcing the law," is no better than saying, "I was just following orders." The EFS says they want Texans to know their rights, and this case shows exactly why that matters.
A developer named Andros wrote about joining the IndieWeb movement and published both an explainer and their implementation. The idea is owning your content on your own domain instead of handing it to a platform.
And in the discussion, a user called RMDS mentioned using a tool called IndieKit. They described it as something that basically comes with IndieWeb batteries included, and they linked to two personal sites as examples. Andros replied, "Good job to you too."
But not everyone's on the same page about how to syndicate. Another commenter, SuperWho, argued that RSS and Atom feeds are important outside the IndieWeb protocols. They see value in those established standards.
Andros responded by explaining that HFeed is what's recommended for the IndieWeb, making your HTML itself the feed, while RSS, or Atom, can serve the rest of the planet. Two approaches for two audiences.
SuperWho pushed back, though, saying they knew of no native, non-JavaScript software that supports HEFeeds. They started to mention something called IndiePass before the remark cut off. So that thread ended without a resolution, but it captures the tension. Newer IndieWeb formats versus the older, widely supported feed standards.
A maker who built a standalone 1,500 recorder just shipped 2,500 units and wrote a project post titled, "Hardware is Not So Hard."
That title might raise eyebrows, but the numbers behind the project tell the real story. The companion app alone totals about 85,000 lines of code.
That app covers device connectivity, first-time setup, syncing, 1,500 playback and visualization, library management, audio and video export, plus over-the-air workflows.
And then there is the firmware, roughly 110,000 lines. It handles 1,500 recording and streaming, USB, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, web APIs, storage, OTA updates, diagnostics, security, peripherals, provisioning, and an embedded web interface.
Add those together, and you are looking at a codebase that exceeds 200,000 lines. A commenter on the post noticed that combined number and asked why so much code was needed.
The author's response was straightforward. Those components are simply what it takes to deliver a full-featured product. Nothing extraneous, just the reality of building something complete.
So the lesson in "Hardware is Not So Hard" is not that the hardware was trivial. It is that the software turned out to be the larger, quieter mountain.
Right. And shipping 2,500 units shows that mountain is climbable if you go in knowing how tall it really is.
Staying with Maker Hardware, a discussion about a home server's death and rebirth surfaced some hard-won lessons about Raspberry Pi SD cards.
A commenter named Inigu put it bluntly. Raspberry Pis are notorious for SD card corruption, and the causes are often unknown. Their suggestion was to replace the Pi with a mini PC, something in the NES style.
Another user, Nubin Network, backed that up with direct experience. They ran a Pi 5 24/7 for over a year. It still boots fine, but it runs extremely slowly because the SD card is trashed.
The culprit in their case? The System Evergen Journal writes at least twice every minute. That constant, small write workload chewed through the card over time.
The next planned move is switching to a proper NVMe drive. And another commenter, Dan Parsonson, noted that flash memory generally does not have a great lifespan for rewrites.
That point led to a Docker observation from commenter B112, who warned that buying computer storage before 2030 now means paying, quote, "big time," and joked about selling a car for one NVMe drive.
So the takeaway from that thread is practical. If you are running a Pi long-term, factor in the storage strategy early, because the SD card will likely let you down eventually. From AI nudging us toward conformity to a bowling alley with a second life, that's our show.
Marcassia and company put a number on something many of us feel. AI advice suppressed willingness to voice independent views by about 18% in their preprint. That's a big effect, and it deserves more eyes.
On the model front, Moonshot AI paused new Kimi subscriptions after K3 demand surged, while Alibaba's Qwen team teased Qwen 3.8 Max. Details are sparse, but the name alone signals ambition.
OpenAI quietly cut Codex's context window from 372,000 tokens to 272,000. No fanfare. If you were building on that ceiling, you felt it.
And from the tooling corner, Simon Willison spotted Claude Code bundling a Rust rewrite of Bun. He ran the binary, and it identified itself as Bun written in Rust. A fascinating shift for the JavaScript runtime.
Also, the last known active patent on MPEC-4 Visual has expired. Between that and earlier US and EU expirations, the codec is now effectively in the public domain.
And one final image. A Hacker News user bought an 8-lane bowling center in a rural Midwest town for $105,000 and lives there. That's one way to own your lane.
Indeed it is. We'll be back with more. Thanks for listening.